Welcome to the Ether. Today is Thursday, February 16th, 2023. Today on the Ether, exploring liquid staking on Cosmos, hosted by Coin98 Super App. Let's take a listen.
Okay, guys. Thank you for your waiting. So, hi, guys. Welcome back to Beauty Talk, the series. And my name is EU, D-I-E-U. I am really, really glad to be your host today. Before we start, please let us know if everything was fine with the sound and my voice.
Yes, all good.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So, seems like everything and everyone is ready for a talk. Let's begin now. So for some audience, you have just joined Build a Talk, the series, for the first time. So Build a Talk is a series where people to get share with fellow builders about the projects they were working on and their opinion about the crypto industry. So for this disclaimer, so nothing we say here is investment advice or legal advice. Okay, so don't let you guys wait any longer. Today, another insightful talk for you this time will come from Tushar, founder at Persistent, and Miku, lead at Bistech Finance. Okay, so hi, Tushar and Miku. Thanks for coming. We really appreciate your time for being here today. And I think our audience would love to know more about the builders who are participating in this space. So can you share a little bit about yourself as well as your background? For example, who you are, what got you into the crypto industry? So let's go first with Tushar.
Thank you so much. And thanks to Coin90 as well for hosting. My name is Tushar. I'm the founder and CEO of Persistence. Persistence is a Cosmos app chain for folks in the audience that may not be familiar with what app chains are. So some of the other Cosmos app chains include chains like Osmosis, Juno, Injective. For Persistence, the key focus in terms of being an app chain is creating a small DeFi ecosystem around liquid staked assets. High level speaking, my journey in crypto began in 2017. I started off as the host of a podcast called Decrypt Asia, and then got an opportunity to be the first employee at the crypto arm of a traditional venture capital fund in Singapore called Golden Gate Ventures. And then after 1.5 years at Golden Gate Ventures, decided to move over to being a builder and started Persistence. Bistake is the first application on top of Persistence, which is what Mikhail drives. And I'll pass it on to him to introduce himself and Bistake.
Yeah, hey, everyone. Sorry, dude. It's good. Hi, dude. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having us here. I'm Mikhail, and as Tushar highlighted, I drive things on the Bistake side within Persistence. So I joined crypto in 2019 after graduating from university. So I completed my engineering in 2019 and joined Persistence and started looking at market research more specifically, but naturally gravitated towards mechanism design and how certain protocols work under what's happening under the hood, which kind of led us to start looking into the liquid staking arena. And that's how Bistake was born as the first application on Persistence within the Persistence ecosystem. Bistake, as you might be aware of, is a liquid staking protocol, which issues stake derivatives for some of the POS assets that you may hold. Basically, it's an application where you can deposit your atoms, your ETH, your BNB, and some of the other assets in the future to generate staking rewards, while also be able to use, you know, your staked assets to generate additional yield. That's what eStake is. I have been in the space for about 3.5 years now, and spend most of my time looking at staking, liquid staking, DeFi, not much into NFTs, but also a big fan of the Coin98 super wallet. It's actually quite an amazing wallet to use. So yeah, that's about me and eStake.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think your stories are a source of inspiration for the audience here. And actually, I really love your talk of to be a builder rather than being an investor. And I think that's also the reason why you guys are here in our Builder Talk series. Actually, I entered the cryptocurrency markets as an investor and researcher for the first time from the end of 2018. However, until 2021, I just had the courage to step out of my comfort zone officially working in this industry, and I feel incredibly honored to be a company with CoinNet. And I think you two also are very proud of being a company with BizTech and Persistent from the beginning. Okay, so you know our series is called Builder Talk. So I would like to ask, when hearing the words builder or build, what image, character, or object come to your mind and why? So do you guys see any similarities in the image with yourself? So who start first?
Yeah, I think maybe I can take that one. I think it's a very straightforward and simple answer. There's a reason why we called ourselves Persistence, because I think one of the biggest things about building in crypto is that you need to have that persistence over a very sorry for the background noise to have that persistence over a very long period of time, especially because, you know, as everybody listening in would know, that, you know, crypto industry is very volatile, and obviously during good times it seems like the good times will never end, and during bad times it seems like the bad times never end, but both good times and bad times end. And you know, our job as builders is to navigate through that volatility. And, you know, one of the things that is required is that grit and that hard work over long periods of time. So, you know, as Mikhail highlighted, he's been in the industry for about 3.5 years. I've been in the industry for about 6 years, and have seen different cycles, have seen people come and go, have seen projects come and go. I think there are very few people that build across multiple cycles, and that's kind of what we aim to do, so that we can always, you know, there are always, you know, pullbacks, setbacks, challenges, but our overall trajectory looks up and to the right, and that's what we kind of, you know, aim to do at Persistent. So I think the image is, you know, of somebody persisting through challenging moments and challenging times. So I think that's what for us, you know, defines what it means to be a builder.
Yeah, very meaningful. And so I think the keyword today is persistent. So how about Mikhail?
Yeah, I think I would echo everything that Tushar just said. You know, we've stuck to our values from the very beginning, which if you go anywhere and check, you know, if you go to Persistent's website or look at some of our other collaterals, we talk about humility, integrity, persistence in the past, but now we call it humility, integrity, patience, and persistence. So I think as a builder, you got to live by those values and have humility, and especially in an industry like crypto, where, you know, it's you know, you see so many people with not the best integrity. You have to have those values and live by them. We kind of do that. We have a lot of patience. Things may not go our way at times. Things may go really, really well. You just need to be, you know, you just shouldn't let it get to your head. You have to be like, you know, you have to keep your feet to the ground and keep working hard, keep speaking to your users, figuring out what they want, seeing what would make sense, you know, have a vision to begin with of what the industry might look like. I remember at the Shah, when I first started speaking to him in 2019, he used to talk about the vision where, you know, staking is going to be so big in the future. I couldn't actually see that because I was more personally a ETH maxi at the time. And, you know, Ethereum being proof of work at the time, obviously there were talks around the transition, but I didn't see that up until we started working on liquid staking and you know, spend more of our time around staking itself. So I think as a builder, we do live by those values. We have a vision of what we want to build, but we are also, you know, more than happy to take feedback, take a step back, change things, and just keep persisting through various cycles and keep building as much as we can.
Yes, awesome. So I have researched via your website, and I see that your project promotes some attractive, for example, humility, integrity, patience, and persistence, right? So really appreciate about your value. Okay, so actually we have two main sessions. The first one, we will know more about the project, for example, what persistence eventually is, why Cosmos SDK, how BitStake ties, and how liquid staking work. And in the second session, audiences can freely raise your hand, request to mic, talk, and ask directly to our speaker today. And we also have some overview background about persistence and BitStake. However, we would like to deep dive. So persistence is one of the earliest members of the Cosmos ecosystem. And I think you guys have been contributing the most to Cosmos, one of the most earliest member on the Cosmos. And according to my research, that you guys have three of the infrastructure layer. The first one is the validator M audit one, the consensus layer is the persistent core chain, and the last but not least is the application layer, for example, BitStake. So Tushar, I would like to ask you more about the context. We don't have to go in depth into on three things, but just a brief context of the original story. For example, what problem are you solving? How it all started, and what's your Cosmos journey? For example, some people here maybe they are new to Cosmos or haven't heard about your project.
Yes, so that's a good question. High level, you know, speaking as you highlighted, first of all, I think you've done quite a bit of a good job in terms of doing your research on us. And you're absolutely right with everything that you said. For us, the journey has not been a very straightforward journey. So we were early Cosmos community members and have been early believers and believe in the application chain thesis as well, which is, you know, what does that mean? That means that, you know, each big application can potentially have its own chain. And we kind of see that thesis play out. For example, Osmosis Dex has its own chain now. DYDX is moving away from Ethereum onto Cosmos and will have their own DYDX chain on which their Perps Dex operates. Why did we believe in the app chain philosophy? If we look at monolithic blockchains like Solana, Ethereum, you know, they're very general purpose blockchains that want to attract all kinds of different use cases. So you'll have some gaming apps and DeFi apps and, you know, NFT applications. For us, what we wanted to do was have a very targeted use case. And for that, having an app chain allows us to tweak parameters like, finality and things like that, which allows us to create certain use cases that may not be possible on other L1s or may not be possible on other L2s as well. In terms of our story itself, we started late in 2019 in the bear market. It was very difficult to fundraise. That's how Audit One, our validator arm, was born, where we started running validator nodes as a way to generate revenue. We used that revenue to pay salaries to the team. And basically that helped us to build persistence. Persistence, like you rightly said, is the chain layer. Basically we use the capital from Audit One to finance things to build out persistence. Initially, the problem that persistence was trying to solve was more around trade financing, around commodity trading, or bringing real world assets on chain. But we quickly realized that there were a lot of problems when it comes to bringing real-world assets on chain, In the meantime, in Q4 2020, we were doing a stake drop campaign. Today, a lot of Cosmos projects go to market doing a stake drop. I believe we were one of the first, if not the absolute first, to do a stake drop. So it was very innovative at the time. And within a three-month period, that's actually the stake drop campaign is something that actually Mikhail was spearheading. Within a three-month time period, we had more than $1 billion worth of assets at 2020 prices that were staked to participate in the stake drop. And that gave us an insight that there was a huge demand from end users to generate additional yields from already staked assets. And that's what, you know, around that time is when the Chorus One report on liquid staking came out as well. And so the combination of the Chorus One report and the success of the stake drop and finding problems in terms of bringing real world assets on chain made us pivot into liquid staking, which has been a great decision in hindsight. That's how, you know, PStake was born as well as the application on top of the persistence chain. You know, high level speaking, it's been a rewarding journey. And now what we're doing is going forward, building a bigger ecosystem where we're, you know, creating liquidity for the liquid staked assets. So for example, SDK Atom on DEXs like Osmosis and Crescent. But in the future, we'll also be trying to bootstrap liquidity on a native DEX on persistence chain and create other use cases for the liquid staked assets. So our thought process and our belief is that the liquid staked assets should form the base pair, at least within the Cosmos ecosystem. And that should be the base asset around which financial products are built, whether that's a DEX, whether that's a money markets platform, whether that is an options vault. All of these products should be built around the liquid staked asset. And that becomes even more interesting from the Cosmos perspective because most of the Cosmos coins are inflationary in nature or have staking rewards built in. So high level, that is to give you an overview of how the journey has been and where we're going as well.
Okay, so your answer showed how long the long history of your project with the Cosmos ecosystem. And as my understanding, the persistent is taking steps toward closing the gap with liquid staking, for example, about the locking time or the user experience, and beside user can stake to earn yield, you can expand more use cases for SDK asset, right? So I hope that your project in the future will give more better value for the DeFi ecosystem. For example, you can create a brand new financial infrastructure for user and definitely contribute to the DeFi ecosystem on Cosmos. And you know that Cosmos liquid staking is heating up. As everyone here already knew about BitStake, a liquid staking protocol developed by Persistent allow users to stake their BOS token to earn staking rewards while maintaining the liquidity of their assets. But I think that our community, our audience here, will be very eager to know more about liquid staking and how liquid staking matters on Cosmos chain. And Mikhail, could you share more with us about liquid staking on Cosmos?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think why liquid staking is such an important topic in Cosmos in particular, I think Tushar briefly touched upon it, which is most of these Cosmos-based chains have inflationary tokens or have staking rewards baked in, even if they do not, you know, the staking rewards are generated through fees. And users, unlike on Ethereum, you don't have to run your own validator node. You could just choose a validator that you want to stake with and delegate your Atom or your UMI tokens or your XPRT or, you know, or your Osmo, for example. But what happens when you do that, you end up locking your tokens. So when I say you end up locking your tokens, what that specifically means is that your assets are going to be locked on the chain for X amount of days. So once you stake your assets, the first step is, you know, you choose a validator, you select the option to delegate, and your assets are going to, whatever amount you stake, you would earn a staking reward against those assets. And those rewards will be generated over time. It is usually generated on a block by block basis. In some situations, it's on a day to day basis, which is more of an epoch based model. But at the same time, you can't do anything beyond that. Your assets are only earning staking rewards. So when we were looking at, 2020, during the DeFi summer, which is when we actually started working on P-Stake, we could see the yields in DeFi being super, super high. And most of it was unsustainable, but we also saw a lot of sustainable yield opportunities, which was more around, borrowing and lending and all those things, right? So you could see those opportunities in DeFi, but when you were holding Atom, for example, your assets were just sitting there generating about 7 to 8% at the time. So not the best yield at that time. So we started digging deeper into this problem because people would stake their assets and they would get locked up and they would only generate some amount of yield. Also, the user experience isn't that great. If the market starts crashing, you would have to unbond your assets, which takes about 7 days, 14 days or 21 days, depending on chains. Most chains in Cosmos follow the 21-day unbonding model. Some follow the 14-day unbonding model. So within that 14 or 21-day period, you can't actually do anything with your assets. They are not even generating staking rewards. So it's not the best or the most capital-efficient way for using your POS assets. So that is how we started digging into liquid staking. We started working on liquid staking with P-Stake. It is a very simple application. You come onto the platform, you have, for example, Atom, you stake your Atom. P-Stake would basically deposit it. So users deposit it on P-Stake, which then delegates it across 62 validators that P-Stake governance chooses. So P-Stake token holders can decide which validators, the user's assets get staked with. And you just distribute those assets across a lot of these validators to generate staking rewards. But at the same time, when the user deposits their atoms, they receive a different token, which we call STK Atom. So STK Atom is the liquid stake derivative, or LSDs as people like calling it these days. STK Atom is the LSD that you receive. Now, as long as you hold that STK Atom, you're generating staking rewards in the background. And you can use this STK Atom to generate additional yield. So for example, you could use it on Osmosis to supply liquidity to the STK Atom pool and generate, I think it's about 15% yield. But at the same time, you're also earning 19% yield on your staking reward, on your STK Atom within the pool. So you're generating much more yield than what you would otherwise. Similarly, you could go on and use STK Atom as a collateral to borrow another asset. But all of this, while you do all of this, you're also earning staking rewards in the background, which is about 20% at the moment for Atom. So it's a much more capital efficient way of participating in DeFi instead of just using the native asset directly. So that's what P-Stake is. Our goal is to make sure that STK assets at some point in the future become the base assets in POS and DeFi. And to do that, what Persistence is doing is focusing on a chain which has applications that allow you to, similar to how you have a lot of DeFi use cases for native assets, we see a market for DeFi applications that are catered to not just native assets, but liquid stake derivatives as the base asset. So using STK Atom as collateral and doing some exciting things with that, using STK Atom in a pool on a DEX to do more exciting things. So yeah, that's P-Stake and Persistence.
Yeah, so very informative and insightful answer. So I understand that user not only reap the full staking rewards for assets on Cosmos, but they also have the opportunity to reuse those assets on other nexus and DeFi protocols, right? So I think one of the audience also would like to know, so what are the differences between P-Stake and other liquid staking protocol on Cosmos? Do you have any advantage? So can Mikhail share with us?
Sorry, could you just repeat that? I got cut off the last moment.
Yeah, so I would like to ask about the differences between your protocol versus other liquid staking competitors.
Yeah, sure. So right now within the Cosmos ecosystem, we have Quicksilver and Stride as two other liquid staking protocols that are live. Quicksilver is live for Stargaze. I'm not sure if they're live for Cosmos yet. But the core value proposition that PStake brings is not just within PStake, but also the value of the assets that you know that you receive from PStake. So when we say, first of all, we work with three principles in mind, number one being security, number two being user experience, and number three being utility, in that particular order. So we really, really make sure that whatever we are building is as secure as you know humanly possible. So going through multiple rounds of audits, making sure that we have monitoring in place, ensuring that if anything goes south, you know, we are able to look at that. We are notified at the very moment something goes wrong, but trying to ensure that it never comes to that, that being our priority. Number two is, like I said, user experience. So when we talk about user experience, what are some of the things, you know, most people, when you look at LSDs or liquid staking protocols, what you would look at is on the front end, it all looks the same. You deposit your assets, you receive a derivative. You use that LSD in wherever you want to. But what you do not look at is how the protocol works. So how PStake works is slightly different to some of the other competitors that we have. Starting with making sure that your assets, number one, do not get slashed. Or if they do, it does not affect you in a big way. So when I say that, what do I mean by that? So in POS, when you stake with a validator, because it's proof of stake, if the validator is a malicious validator or has some downtime, which means they are not producing blocks, they would get slashed. And some of the stake, so for example, if a validator has $1 million worth of stake, and they maliciously sign a block, which you know, let's say they have a double signing situation. What would happen is a portion of this $1 million would get slashed and burned from supply. So users lose some money or some assets that they stake. What happens here with PStake is that we want to make sure that even if a validator gets slashed, it does not affect the users in a big, big way. This is an inherent risk with staking, slashing. It is not that common, especially like, you know, double signing is not very common. But downtime slashing, wherein the validator node is not running or is not up, that can happen to anyone because you may have internet issues, your validator software may need to be upgraded, you might not have done that on time, all those things can come into play. So what we do is, unlike some of the other liquid staking protocols wherein they delegate users' assets and split it across a few validators, for example, if a user comes in with 100 atoms, we split that 100 atom equally across 62 validators. So we try to ensure that the delegation is split across multiple validators. So even if one validator gets slashed, the risk that the user is exposed to is significantly lower than what it would look like on another protocol. At the same time, we have some very exciting features, specifically because we were thinking about user experience. So as a user, if you want to use a liquid staking protocol, what are some of the things that you're going to look at? You're going to look at the liquidity of the LSD itself. So for STK Atom, for example, you know, you want to have STK Atom, you want to hold STK Atom, but you see that liquidity on Osmosis, for example, is about 2 million right now, which is decent enough. But if you want to use it in, if you want to stake a large amount of atoms with PStake, the number one concern is going to be that, okay, how will I swap out of STK Atom and into Atom when I really need to? So what we've done to tackle that problem is come up with an instant redemption model. So what this instant redemption does is basically we match users who deposit their assets against the users who want to withdraw their assets and do it in an instant manner. So if, for example, Tushar is delegating some of his assets, but I want to unbond my assets, or I want to get his atom back from my STK atom. So there are two ways for me to go about this. I would either just unbond it on the protocol and wait for 21 days, which is the normal waiting period for or cool down period for atom unbondings. Or I would just swap out my STK atom for atom on a DEX like Osmosis or Crescent. But we provide users with a third option where, since Tushar is depositing some of his assets and they don't get immediately staked, there's a delegation epoch, which is a lot more technical, so I won't go into that. But Tushar's assets are what I withdraw, and whatever I had actually staked is mapped to Tushar's address. So instead of you having to use a DEX which may not have a lot of liquidity and which may give you higher slippage, we solve that problem. So this is one major problem I think when it comes to liquid streaming protocols, which we've solved. And we will make more improvements to how the instant redemptions work. So yeah, I think those are like two key differences that we have. Apart from that, the fact that we are built on persistence, and persistence will very soon have an ecosystem of applications where you would have applications which are very, very strictly focused, strictly catered to LSDs as the base asset. So Bamboo, Dexter, these are projects that are going live, a wall product maybe in the future. You are basically creating an ecosystem where users don't necessarily have to IBC their assets, because even at this stage, IBC assets is not the most straightforward. You know, your assets may get stuck on a relayer. It may take more time than you would want it to. Some applications may not have the best UI for you to IBC and deposit your atoms or your assets. So all those problems get solved, and we see a market where, you know, similar to how Curve created its own niche for stable assets, like-for-like assets, I think there's a market for liquid staked for applications that cater specifically to liquid staked assets as the base asset because of the different properties that LSDs have. So yeah, I think those are some of the things that really differentiate us among other factors, which is, you know, our experience, the fact that we were one of the first liquid staking protocols to go live in Cosmos in 2020, even before IBC, even before anything, you know, within Cosmos was a working product. Like, I think we were one of the first like projects to come out with a working product for Atom. So we brought all of that experience into a new product, and not just within Cosmos, but also on our product on BNB, which is SDK BNB. So yeah, I think these are some of the things that differentiate us.
Yeah, so awesome. So user experience is very important for most of the DeFi protocols in the crypto industry. And in Coin98, we also prioritize the user experience. So I think what makes you different with other competitors also in terms of technology and how you integrate with other DApp to improve the utility of their STK tokens. So Coin98 and many audience here keep looking forward to your upcoming innovation solution. And so let's move to our next question. Most persistent and mistake are built on Cosmos. We also want to know about the reason why your team chose to build on Cosmos SDK. So maybe this time, Tushar,
Yeah, so I think I already touched upon this in the previous answer, where you know, we believed in the application chain philosophy to have sovereign blockchains where you can, you know, control parameters at the chain level. And so, you know, for example, especially in DeFi, this becomes, you know, super important. So for example, to have, you know, high throughput or, you know, fast finality at the chain level, you know, especially in moments of distress. You know, for example, if you have a borrowing lending application on your chain and you know, the price is falling and liquidations are happening, you know, you want a chain that can, you know, have that throughput as well as that, you know, finality. So from our perspective, that app chain philosophy, along with interoperability with other blockchains, is something that appealed to us. Like you already highlighted, we were, you know, early believers and early builders in Cosmos at a time when even proof of stake itself was not that big. When we started building, we literally had two options. We were believers in POS. And at that time, there were only two POS chains that were live, Tezos and Cosmos. And you know, after having done technical due diligence, we felt that Cosmos, you know, had much better tech and also had more of a grassroots developer community. So, of course, from a high-level perspective, I don't think Cosmos has the best BD team. But because there are enough believers enough grassroots believers in Cosmos. I think that's led to the strength, you know, of Cosmos, and that's why we decided to, you know, go down that path. So yeah, I think that is pretty much why we chose Cosmos. Of course, it's a long-term bet, and our belief is that on a long enough time horizon, there'll be enough builders, which is something the bet has been true in terms of Cosmos being able to attract, you know, enough builders despite their BD efforts not being that good, as opposed to other chains which have really good BD efforts but are still able to, but still are unable to bootstrap that developer community. So I think high level speaking, going forward, we have the entire Ethereum ecosystem, the L1 as well as the L2s. So Ethereum, the main chain, as well as, you know, Arbitrum, Optimism, Polygon. And then I think the other big, I think, ecosystem is around the app chains in the Cosmos ecosystem. So we do think that, you know, we'll, in the, you know, in the coming months and years, we will see, you know, a strong narrative and also greater awareness in the community around L2s. And also app chains. So it's obviously for us, it's been already, you know, 3 years that, you know, we've bet on this, but we see this becoming more true. And, you know, like you said, you know, you've been on the investor side of things. I've been on the investor side of things. The good thing with being an investor is you can keep changing your mind and keep buying, selling coins. But as a builder, you have to have, you know, a clear vision and a longer term vision. And you can't change your mind, you know, every day, or it's more costly to change your mind every day, because you have to align the team and the overall direction in which the project goes. So from that perspective, we need, you know, to give that direction. And so from that very high level direction perspective, I think we've made a good bet. Of course, high level speaking, you know, persistence is an independent sovereign, you know, app chain. And so what we work towards is making sure that value accrual happens to XPRT, and XPRT is the absolute center of the entire persistence ecosystem. And so, you know, while we've been talking about STK Atom as you know, the liquid staking asset being issued on PStake through via the PStake application, you know, very soon we'll have liquid staked XPRT that is going to be issued, in addition to, of course, other assets. So what that will do is, again, you know, bootstrap more liquidity for STK XPRT. So while we keep the staking ratio on the chain very high, we do not give up on the liquidity or the volumes for XPRT, and also create interesting use cases in terms of, let's say, being able to borrow against XPRT while being able to earn staking rewards and things like that. So, you know, while we're building use cases around other assets, which are, you know, important assets in the Cosmos ecosystem, and also maybe, you know, outside, slightly outside the Cosmos ecosystem, like BNB. You know, for us, it's very clear that we want to make sure, you know, make sure that the value accrual happens to, you know, XPRT ultimately. And we've built a lot of use cases around around XPRT and STK XPRT itself.
Yes, and your answer is very clear, and we love the philosophy that you mentioned. Also, the plan for SPRT staking on persistent, and we're looking forward to that. And one more question that I would like to ask about your ecosystem. So I noticed that the domain of your site is persistent.one, right? So I would like to ask about the reason why you not choose persistent.network of persistent protocol. So any meaning relate to the persistent ecosystem?
That's a good question. And I must say that you're very perceptive. Our thought process was that persistence protocol or persistence network or persistence chain is actually a very small part of the persistence ecosystem. And so from the very beginning, we had that clarity that persistence was going to be a lot more than just the persistence chain itself, or just the persistence network or protocol itself. So that's the main reason why we decided to go with the .1 domain. Also, at some level, you know, we like you know, being number one. So no, I'm joking. But yeah, the main reason was because, you know, our thought process was that, you know, persistence is almost like the mothership or the umbrella project. And you have within that, you have, persistence chain and, you know, all, everything that the chain does, and also have interesting ecosystem applications like PStake.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think your ecosystem has achieved a great result for nearly 2 or 3 years from the beginning. And you know, CoinNetJet had also integrated persistent from the first time and also integrate PStake in our DApp browser. So I would like to ask about the question that do you have any news or alpha leak for our community here?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thanks for that integration, and we definitely look forward to working more closely with Point98. You know, I know that you guys are, you know, primarily based out of Vietnam, and for us, you know, that is something that's, you know, super exciting. I'm based out of Singapore, and you know, obviously from Southeast Asia, we see, you know, huge potential in general, and I know there's a, you know, big community in Vietnam, so we definitely want to be more active there, and we will be working more closely with you guys, you know, to jointly promote, you know, awareness about you guys as well, and you know, persistence at the same time. In terms of alpha, again, you know, the high level alpha is that you know, PStake is the first application which focuses on the asset issuance of, let's say, SDK Atom or SDK XPRT in the future. We're building liquidity on third-party DEXs like Osmosis and Crescent that Mikhail talked about. But beyond that, you know, we want to also ensure that we build liquidity on our native DEX. And the DEX is focused on, is specifically being built for liquid staked assets. So for example, the SDK Atom, you know, Pair would be a good example of that. So I think, so, you know, high level, we are very passionate about finance and very passionate about DeFi. And we want to make sure that we build use cases around liquid staked assets, and of course, XPRT included. And so, you know, that's going to happen through other applications that are going to be launched on top of persistence chain. So Dexter is the name of the Dexter Zone is the name of the application where liquidity is going to be bootstrapped in addition to on, you know, third party DEXs. So high level, you know, we have, we're long term builders, and what we want to do is make sure that we create utility for the chain and greater traction for the chain in terms of number of wallets, number of transactions, number of IBC transactions. Obviously, we want to work towards, you know, greater liquidity for XPRT, and of course, you know, move up through the rankings as far as, you know, XPRT market cap goes as well. So, you know, those are things that, you know, we're working towards. So we want to make sure we have a solid product and good traction. And you know, want to make sure that, you know, we do right by our token holders, you know, who are, you know, different members of the community, which includes validators, of course, includes team members, includes, you know, people who bought tokens in the market, and so we really appreciate the support that we've gotten from the community. You know, it is tough to be a builder in general. It takes time, effort, patience, and persistence. And so that's something that, you know, from our side, what we want to communicate to the community is that, you know, we're working on those things, and, you know, sometimes things take a little bit longer than we anticipate. But, you know, from our perspective, we're getting better at building. And so, like I mentioned, the overall trajectory for us looks up and to the right. And so super excited about, you know, all the product launches. So this year, I believe, you know, we're kind of hoping for the markets to stay where they are and you know, not distract us so that we can continue to build this year, get all the products out, at least the V1s of all the products, you know, get end users to use the product, get traction, and then keep iterating in terms of, you know, better security, better features, more traction. So, you know, super excited overall. And, you know, I think the, you know, I'm very excited to launch all the products and yeah, you know, make sure that, you know, persistence as an entire ecosystem succeeds.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, very cool. So I think all of the listeners here are looking forward to your plan and what you said. So that's the end of the first session. Thanks to Sha and Mikhail for answering all of the questions from Coin98. And now it's your turn. So we're moving on to the live Q&A session. So if you guys here have any question for Tusha and Mikhail about persistent Bitstack, liquid staking on Cosmos, feel free to raise your hand and we will pick and then give permission for you to talk directly to our speaker here. So this is a talk series, so we would like to pick anyone who raised their hands first before going through the comments. So are you ready? So let's start our live Q&A right now. Please request your mic and I will pick you. Okay, so I think that the audience needs time to to give you the question. Okay, so I saw here Usman Salinsu. We are connecting to him. Hi, Usman. It seems that they are loading. Hi, Usman. You are muting yourself, so please unmute. So maybe we will come to other audiences here. So please raise your hand. Okay, in the meanwhile, so I would like to ask you one more question. So when building Bitstack or persistent, do you guys have any difficulties you want to share here?
Well, I think I can take this. So I can talk a little bit about the difficulties when we started building Bitstack. And the biggest difficulty was working around the technical limitations of the underlying chains itself. So like we talked about, you know, in 2020, Cosmos did not have IBC, Cosmos did not have Osmosis. There was no Nodex, no DeFi in the Cosmos ecosystem. So it was quite tricky to build a liquid staking protocol that issues the derivative natively onto the one of the Cosmos chains or within the Cosmos ecosystem itself. But what we did was slightly unconventional and issued SDK Atom as a derivative on the Ethereum network by building our own bridge, issuing asset directly on the Ethereum side instead of issuing it on Cosmos and then taking it to Ethereum. So we just built a semi-custodial bridge of sorts. It wasn't a fully non-custodial bridge, to be honest, because at the time, Cosmos did not have a technology for you to build out liquid staking on the chain without using some centralized components. And that was a big challenge for us to realize that tech is incremental and you would have to build something first and make incremental changes to what you're building, which is how we reached this point where we have now launched a fully non-custodial and ICA, which is interchain accounts-based solution. I think that was one of our bigger challenges, figuring out how to go about things given the technical limitations of certain chains and you know, certain platforms. So we still found out a way, may not have been the best approach. You know, hindsight is always 10 on 10. So we do realize the mistakes that we've made in the past and have rectified all of those mistakes now and are moving full steam ahead. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very meaningful story for our audience here. So we have seen some audience here are requesting the mic mute. So firstly, I would like to invite Hidden Drift to World. So please unmute yourself. Hello.
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 Hi.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. So why did you choose to build a liquid staking project in the first place? What motivated you to think that liquid staking project will be successful at this time?
First of all, I was expecting a bit of a scarier voice based on your profile picture. Thank you for that question. So again, I think, we kind of touched upon it during the session as well. From our perspective, it was kind of, a serendipity or kind of true chance how we stumbled upon liquid staking. But the major reason was that we did a stake drop campaign where stakers of certain assets like Atom and Kava at that point would receive a very targeted airdrop of the persistence point. And, like I mentioned, within 3 months, we had more than $1 billion worth of crypto assets that were participating in this stake drop campaign. So that gave us an insight into how much. So it was more market driven and more end user driven in terms of how much demand we thought there was, and we still think that there is, in terms of generating additional yields from assets that are already staked. So it was not because, we were looking to solve that problem. We saw an opportunity in the market and then kind of jumped on it.
Yeah, I think this is a very comprehensive answer, and I think that liquid staking is one of the most important sectors to help DeFi grow. Okay, so for the next question, let's invite CryptoFar. Hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I have a question to ask. Can you share with us any funny or interesting story about the building process?
Mikhail, you want to take
that? I'm trying to think of all the funny stories.
By the way, your profile picture is like your voice, which is good. I think every time we've had a launch, it's been interesting for good reasons or for, not so good reasons, but, definitely, like last year, we did, after things opened up post-COVID, we did our first offsite. I think there were a lot of interesting and fun, that was the first time that even I was meeting some of the team members because we were building through COVID. So I think, that was quite an interesting thing and something that we, are looking to do again in terms of, getting the whole team together, because we are a remote first team. And so that creates some additional complexity in terms of working. Of course, it gives freedom as well in terms of, letting people choose when they want to work. I think the offsite was something which was quite fun and got the team much closer.
Yeah. So, Christopher, is it okay with your question?
Oh, thank you very much. That's very interesting.
Okay, so let's move to the third question. I think this guest have waited for a very long time. So let me invite Visible HMR. Hello.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me clear?
Yeah, I hear you clear. Really?
I'm quite new to the persistence chains and the project PSTEC itself. I just want to add, I see that the token of the chains, like the XPRT token of the chains, like we can stake in with it and farming with it. So I just want to ask, do you guys have any other plans, like any other use case for the token itself? Thank you.
Yeah, so as I already highlighted during the conversation earlier, a lot of the things that we're trying to do is build use cases around XPRT. So today, of course, what you can do is stake Xpriority through multiple wallets, and earn staking rewards. And you know, what users should be aware of is when they're staking, they're actually securing the chain, and taking part in block production. Staking the coin also enables token holders to participate in governance. On the financial side, like I mentioned, what we're trying to do in the coming months is to create the liquid staked version of XPRT, so STK XPRT. And then what we will be doing is creating liquidity for the liquid staked XPRT on the native DEX, which is called Dexter, and we'll be creating borrowing lending use cases for that. So, you know, high level, it's like holding any other asset with multiple, you know, financial use cases around the token, in addition to, you know, using the token to secure the chain and participate in chain governance.
Thank you for the answer. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the question is also the question that on the community members he wants to ask. And I think due to the limited time, so maybe we will end the like Q&A question here. And thank you, everyone. Thank you, Dusha, Michiu, for answering on the question. And we can feel your passion and enthusiasm for the persistent and mistake. And don't worry if you have a question that has an answer in this moment, you can join Bitstack and Persistent official community channels anytime and get a question. I think the team will be more than happy to receive them. Okay, so before the AMA ends, we also have one more question for you guys, and I think this is the last question. So I would like to ask Tusha and Michiu, so do you have any message, any advice for the builder or who want to be a Web3 builder in the future?
Yeah, I think the advice would be, you know, mainly around having, you know, a lot of people think it's cool to build, but, you know, having a little bit of clarity around, you know, why you're trying to build something. And, you know, if you're able to absorb a lot of the volatility that this industry provides, because it's not easy to build in this industry. So, you know, really going deep and figuring out for yourself if, you know, you're okay to deal with things going up and down nonstop.
Yeah, how about Michiu? Do you have any valuable advice for audience here?
Yeah, I would just add on to what Tusha said, and you know, it's very much like building a startup in public. So that's not usually what happens when you have a startup. It's usually after traditional companies go public is when they are, you know, answerable to the community. In crypto, it's slightly different, where you have to answer to the community from day one and listen to their feedback, incorporate those feedbacks and make certain changes. I think you need to have a very thick skin and have a lot of clarity in order to you know, get to a point where you can actually build onto your vision without burning out, without getting tired, because it's super easy in this industry to get tired and burnt out, or you just don't feel motivated enough if you're not, you know, looking after yourself. So really, really looking after your physical, mental health, and at the same time, like, you know, going after the market really, really aggressively, and yeah, just building in a more sustainable manner as well, while you go out aggressively to have that longevity.
Yeah, totally agree, and really appreciate your valuable advices for on the audience, on the builder who's here. And so I think this is also the end of the Twitter space today. So once again, I would like to thank you for Tusha and Michiu for the time you spent in this Twitter space and other audiences here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, dude. It was great. Thank you for having us. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye.
Yeah. I wish the best for our whole team and all listeners here. And we are looking forward to seeing you in the next series next week. So thank you all. So bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Explore Liquid Staking on Cosmos, hosted by Coin98 Super App. with persistence. Recorded on Thursday, February 16th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support now.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep your hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Laser beam focus, star scream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all erect with the dead man's swagger. Sitting in a little den, envision in the middle men. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter, we was all hyped up. When the pedal lit the metal, he just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop. Ride off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth. Slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Vision in the middle men, listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terra Spaces.